Marketing Espresso, making marketing as enjoyable, energizing, and digestible as your morning coffee. Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Marketing Espresso. I hope that you are well today. I hope that your week's going well so far. Probably if you listen to this straight away, as soon as it's launched, it's Tuesday, so you're probably not that into it. But if you're listening to it later in the week, I hope that it's been a smooth one. And, you know, today we can deliver some fun facts about marketing to you that are going to help you in your business, hey? Or if you're a marketer and you're listening, I hope this is very educational for you. So today's episode, I'm excited to welcome back one of my guests who has previously been on the show. As you know, I love to get people on here 1, 2, 3 times because I think there's so much genius that they all bring to the show, and I hope that you agree with me. So today, back on the show, we have Siobhan from Marketing with Zest and the Smart Marketing Society founder. Siobhan has over 20 years of freelancing marketing consulting experience. Having worked in a range of small businesses from IT right through to offshore energy, she is an expert in marketing and that can adapt to the needs of any organization. She has a BA in media, graduate certificate in business, certificate in digital marketing, and is a certified marketer with the Australian Institute of Marketing. Well, the Australian Marketing Institute, sorry, I said that the wrong way around. But I'm really excited to bring her back on the show. I'm excited for today's chat and I hope that you love it. As always, her details are in the show notes so you can reach out and say hi to Siobhan and, you know, potentially join up for Smart Marketing Society. Also, as per usual, I'd love you to reach out and tell me what you're loving. Tell me if there's anything that you'd like me to cover. And also just subscribe to the podcast. Oh, and while you're at it, leave me a review. I'm not asking for much. But I do hope that you love this episode and I do hope to hear from you. But without further hesitation, I will bring you Siobhan. Siobhan, thank you so much. You're back again.
Yes, I am. It's so nice to be here.
I just love it when guests come back. It's my favorite thing. So today's topic, I think is, we were talking about this offline because both of us have kind of just gone through this, which tells you that it's something that everyone needs to be doing because yes, we're the marketers and we're doing it right.
Yes.
So when is it time to reposition?
Well, when things don't feel like they're working anymore, would you say? Or would you say it's that tick in your head to go, hang on a minute, this isn't working for me?
For me, it was, I got to a point in my business and like I've been on a growth curve and very much in the learning stage of business because I'm so fresh. Like compared to you, like you know, you've done a lot of time in business. So
yes.
My,
I feel old. Yes, I know.
You started young and you're like, you've gone for it, which I love. Like you started in a time where it was.
Let's face it. Yes.
No, but it's good. Like, I think this is amazing. Like, you know, this is why I look up to you. I think that you have so much to give to someone like me that's just started out. Right. But yeah. I think for me, it was like learning that what I actually enjoy doing and being in a service business, it does give you the opportunity to be like, okay, you know, I've offered XYZ and X and Y is working really well. Z's a bit shit and I don't like it. So we're just going to you know, and then how can I fit that market the best? So for me, it was really realizing I'm not an agency. So why was I positioned as one and why was I marketing as one? So that's been the big, obviously, change for me that, you know, people probably have seen on my socials and whatnot and heard me talk about. But for you, I think, what was it for you that kind of sparked the reposition?
Look, to be quite honest, you, 2 years of very tough. I'm in Melbourne, so that was hard to go through those 2 years of, it was hard work. And what I could foresee for me sitting down, I always do it when I'm on holidays. I don't know why.
Because you have room.
Yeah.
It's because your brain has room to think.
You sit there and you've read through a few probably books and what have you and you think, what am I doing? Like, is this right? And I always ask my question, does it feel right? And if it doesn't feel right, what can I do to start making it feel right? And that's what happened to me at the start of January is we always go to the same place every year. My whole family's there. I just sat in my camp chair and thought, is this right? Is this the right direction? And to me, I listened to my gut for once and my gut was saying no. The way you've positioned your business and what you've been doing is not right. It's not working and you need to look at avenues where it's going to work better for you. So I started to look at, okay, how can I do this differently but still serve the people in the way I want to serve them?
Yeah.
So that's when I thought, and I mapped it out. And so I'm really big on, and it's part of why I got this office, is I need space to be able to map stuff out on big post-it note things.
I love that.
And just whiteboard it all out.
Yeah, I'm a whiteboarder too, yeah.
Yeah. So that was the other thing I do, and I'm not sure if it's something that I've always done, having been in business for as long as I have. I officially come back a week before my clients think I do, which now they all know.
No.
So I always say I come back in at towards the end of January, when in fact, really, I've come back the week before, and that week is getting everything set up. And go, okay. And that's when I spend time after having sat down in the start of January to go, okay, is this right? I still start building strategy now. That's not saying I haven't done that, but what it'll do is it might just pre-jig a few things that I've thought of doing. My way of thinking is, and we've talked about this, the reason I don't use my name is because for a very long time, until recent times when my name became a little bit more familiar, people struggled with it. Yeah. So that's why I've never worked under my name, because people are like, Sioban, you know, yeah. Or I've even got Slobhan, because they thought the dot of the I was an L. So I got Slobhan. That was interesting.
That's an interesting one.
And that's what I'm trying to say is that, and that's a reason for my brand positioning and not using my name. That's my reason.
Yeah.
I think if you want to use your name, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do those things. But
your brand name's very catchy as well, though.
Yeah.
Well, like with Zest, like I think that's awesome. Like Plum was not catchy.
I did like it though because I loved your colorings. And
you know, I've kept the coloring because that is so Beck. Like. Yeah. Oh, I knew the minute that I started it. And that was kind of how Plum came around. Not only was it from like the synonyms associated with it, it was actually also the purple. I love purple. I'm obsessed with purple. I always have been. I had a purple room as a child, for Christ's sakes. My poor mother.
And I think with looking at what you're doing when you're coming into that, those sorts of things are quite important when you're looking at positioning, because it is about the brand position as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you... purple is something that resonates with you. So, you know, that works.
I think also like taking it away from us, because we know that marketing is actually never about us as well.
No.
The other good thing about purple was it had that it was about trust too. Yes. Purple is seen as a trusted color. So for me, trust is a big thing. So I wanted to like, it was just convenient that my favorite color happens to be trust. So I think brand positioning is about us as much as it's about our client too, right?
Well, and that's the thing. I've had my other businesses. I've not always been with Zest. So I have had other business names. I did just work under my name when I was purely doing like very, very freelance, low-end stuff. Not low-end, but, you know, basic stuff. But when I first started out, which was back in the day when I would have to get, so I was doing quite a few jobs for a big housing company. I would have to burn a CD with an advert on it and get it to the printers in time so we didn't miss the newspaper run.
I remember doing that. And then it changed to USBs, thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it changed to email. And then, we're both showing our age here.
Depending where you were. But what I think also is part of what happened in January for me with the repositioning, whatever, things change within the market as well and how you market. Yeah. So you also need to keep an eye on that when you're looking at repositioning, because there could be an opportunity with something that's happening on a platform that you want to, you know, use as a part of your revenue stream that you could, you know, jump on, which a lot of people did with the Reels phase and stuff like that. I wouldn't suggest ever to make it your only stream, but things like that. So it could be that, for example, I know a lot of those people are calling themselves Reels coaches now, so that wouldn't have been something that would have been here 12 months ago, two years ago.
It's obviously something that they've really seen success in and they've gone, I'm going to go for that.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So that's, you know, there could be other triggers, things like that, where you've found success, so you jump on it and run with it, which is great.
Yeah, as you said, markets change. Like,
yeah.
And we do have to be, like we saw, perfect example is when a pandemic hits the world. Look at how many businesses had to completely shift. Like how many businesses had to suddenly offer takeaway or home delivery or, you know, and it was so, I actually, to be honest, from a business point of view, watching businesses alter what they were doing during that time was inspirational.
Yeah.
Because we saw so many businesses actually grow through a time where everyone was like, oh, and this is just exactly to the point that we were even talking about offline.
Mm.
It's when shit gets tough, if you suddenly stop your marketing or you suddenly stop worrying about your positioning or you give in and you're like, oh, I've got to cut this revenue stream, or not even revenue, I've got to cut this spending stream, I've got to do this, do that, that's when we see businesses fail.
Yeah.
When you double down and you get so clear on exactly what it is that you need to be doing to overcome the shitstorm that is happening or is coming, that's when we see businesses, like, you know, it's said time and time and time and time and time again, some of the biggest companies we see now in the world were started in recessions.
Yes. Yeah. And look, having worked through those past recessions and past like GFCs and all that sort of thing, what I always found was the businesses that got through those times, A, had diversification of their offerings. So they had a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't cut back on certain areas of their business, and marketing being one of them.
Yeah.
They still maintained that.
I think businesses should jump on marketing. If you're not clear on your message to market and you're about to face, you know, a GFC, COVID, a recession, whatever it is, if you're not clear to your customers about what it is that you do, and you're also not showing up for your customers to tell them what it is that you do, how are you going to make money?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because I know when looking back to the GFC, for example, I can tell you the businesses that stopped or cut back on marketing. And back in then, we didn't have social media platforms and all of that sort of thing. Those businesses cut back on their spend on adverts in papers, they, you know, online, stuff like that, they did cut back on. And I will tell you, they're probably not around today.
Yeah.
Because what it also, the businesses that do well through all of these times are the businesses that can adapt quickly.
Yeah. And they also look for, and we spoke about this in the last episode, they look to be a bit up ahead of the curve.
Yes.
They're not waiting for the change. Like Blockbuster, perfect example. They saw what Netflix was doing with the delivery of the DVDs or whatever, and they're like, that won't stick.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I'm just going to be closed off to that and hope that the world stays the way it is. Well, no, the world is changing, my friend.
But, yeah, so that's where, coming back to, like, my positioning, it is good to really put your business under a microscope and go, is this working for my target audience as well as is this working for me?
Yeah.
And it's kind of looking at and weighing up, okay. And I'm a big one on surveying people. So, you know, ask the question, if my product was called this or this, which one resonates more with you?
Yeah, I love that.
And so to me, you get the feedback from people, you know, family, friends, just ask anyone in business that you know, something else, what resonates more with you? What if I said it was this or this, what works better? And then that doesn't mean it's set in stone either.
Like, yeah, it's still up to your, like, there's so many business groups out there on Facebook even that you can ask these things of.
Exactly.
So many.
Yeah. And, you know, what would you pay for this particular service or offering or product? Ask the question. Like,
or make buddies in an industry. Like you and I were talking what to charge for things for this episode, you know, like we have honest conversations about that and people might be like, but aren't you guys in competition? Like, no, we're not actually.
Well, I don't know. I don't find I'm in competition with anyone.
No, I agree.
Because there's enough work going around, to be quite honest with you. But also, like, how am I to know if I can't ask someone like you?
And this is the thing. Like, some of my best business buddies are people like you. Like,
yeah.
Because you're in my industry. Like, you get it. And it's like we understand. We're having the same challenges generally.
Yeah.
Or, like, we're trying to make the same decisions or do the same thing. Like, even with when I – it's not that an agency model wasn't actually working. And back to your point about you have to like it too. It's I wasn't loving what I was doing.
Exactly.
Mondays were hard. Whereas Mondays are very good this year. It's been like, yes, Monday.
Like for me, I am going back into the agency type model.
Yeah.
Because it felt right.
Yeah.
And I am moving like into, you know, having diversity in my offerings and so forth. And when I sat there and really looked at what I was doing, okay, my one question again was, does this feel right? And I went, yeah, actually, in actual fact, this actually feels exactly what needs to be happening.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get that clarity. I think the other thing is because of the pandemic for the last 2 years, I think it took up a lot of people's headspace, so they haven't had the opportunity to sit back and look at those things either.
Yeah, and we're not, like, let's be realistic. We're not really through it yet. Like, you know, and it is people's headspace is still so consumed by the pandemic, interest rates, inflation, like all of the stuff. Is there a recession coming? What's happening in the US? What's happening here? And it is really hard to sit down and say, I actually need to just work on my business and not worry about the external shit.
Yeah.
So a thing for people I think would be like, well, when is it time to, you know, reposition? So what would be some signs that you feel a business owner might notice when it's kind of they're noticing something's not quite right? Like, what do you think those telltale signs are that are like, yeah, it's time to kind of, you know, do this microscope work?
Well, I think when you have to overly explain things, I think is a good one, because obviously your messaging isn't right. So you might need to reposition that. So revenue decreasing could be another sign.
Yeah.
But for me, also rely on your gut, because if you're in business, you've gone with something.
Yeah.
Rely on your gut a little bit and let it tell you how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And my other one thing though is don't do it too often. I know that some people do this way too often. You've got to give things time too.
Yeah.
So if you've decided to do something or reposition yourself, give it time. It's not going to be something that all of a sudden changes and starts working within a week of doing it.
Yeah.
It will take time. In fact, it could take a year.
Yeah, totally.
So don't sort of think, oh, no, that's not working, I'll change to the next thing. Oh, that's not working, I'll change to the next thing.
I love it when I see there's a thing that comes up on my Instagram often when I'm scrolling, and it says, if you really want to try something, try it for 6 months.
Yeah.
No distractions, no changes, no, obviously you might change your messaging slightly or tweak it a little bit or change channels that you're in if it's really not working. I would not ever advocate that you do something for 6 months without results.
Yeah.
But in terms of your actual product offering or whatever it is, that you've got to stick to, because it is about finding the market, trialing and erroring everything and kind of seeing, you know, test.
Testing,
like, marketing
the market
is just a big test.
And I think what a lot of small business owners have been sold that you don't need to do that testing and surveying.
Because someone's already got the answer for you.
Yeah.
No one's got the answer for you.
No, I think they need to be reminded that send out a survey.
Yeah.
Pop it on a Facebook group and say, hey, can you please fill in this survey on what I'm doing? Things like that. It's an important part, because it'll give you that guiding light for the positioning as well. Like, it'll let you know, oh, okay, yeah, okay, well, I am on the right path with it, or, oh, okay, that's not something I expected.
Yeah. And us entrepreneurs, we're a friendly bunch. We help each other out a lot.
Yeah. And also I think what it does also do is give what you're doing a bit of credibility.
Yeah.
Because the people will be seeing that and saying, oh, she's asking these questions, I wonder what her next step is, and to keep an eye on it and then go, oh, okay, yeah. So she researched that before she went down that path.
Yeah, totally.
That sort of thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, I should point out before I repositioned, I did that, typical Beck, the week before I went on holidays for 3 weeks, I got the okay that my, like, trading name was all good. Why do I always do these things to myself? But anyway, I had been trialing this way of working for nearly 12 months. So it was something that I'd added to my product mix 10 months beforehand easily, and I had been very successful in it. And that was what made me go, actually, yeah, cool, let's shift into this and offer more of this, because it's what I'm seeing people want me for. But more than that, I did a strengths assessment on myself. Through a course that I did with a dear friend, and it was very interesting what came back from those strengths, and it taught me a lot about myself and a lot about why things in my career had seemed tiring, hard, challenging. I'd been able to do them. Like, we can do it all, but it doesn't mean we should. And I think doing that path about finding myself and then also testing the market, it was like 1 + 1 = 2,
yeah,
essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the step I hear a lot, because I speak to people and I said, so if you tested the market, no. Mm. Okay. Well, that's probably the first thing we need to do. We need to take a step back. I know you've got this great idea and everything, like, but let's test the market first before we go ahead with it.
Always test the market, please, people.
Yeah. I mean, great, have the idea, think about doing it, but test the market before you go down the steps of, of, you know,
completely shifting your entire world. Like, the only time it's okay to completely shift your entire world is when a pandemic hits and you have to.
Yeah, and you've got no choice. Like, correct. It's, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
I think as far as the original question, like, you know, when's the right time, I think there's multiple factors, like there always is with these sorts of things. Could be, you know, well influence-led. It could be platform-led. It could be just you have got the revenue coming in, you need something that's going to bring the revenue in, which, to be quite honest, I saw a few posts recently where people are saying they're very quiet creators, like people who are in my the industry of websites and building websites and doing that sort of thing are very quiet at the moment. Now, I think that's because people are not sure what's going to happen with the recession coming, already here, whatever you want to take on that. So what do you do? And that's when you should be thinking about, okay, what can I do within my business in order to survive this time?
Yeah, totally agree. If I
purely just built websites, what else can I do?
Yeah, what other skill sets do I have that I enjoy doing?
Yeah.
That I can monetize.
Selling landing pages.
Yeah.
I just build landing pages for people. Just
I keep having product ideas that are so left of field, and I keep saying to myself, stop it, Beck. But I had a really good one the other week and I was like, oh, maybe I should really look into this.
Well, when it's a good one, I think do look into it, test it out, see what you think of it. But that is the other thing, though, is you don't want to offer too much, because then it'll be overwhelming.
Correct, yeah.
But you don't want to be too narrow that if that fails, then you've got nothing else. So
yeah, it's true, yeah.
There's a happy medium. I, in some of the stuff I teach, I call it the product pyramid. So you need to have low, medium, high, and more low, less high sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly the model I follow in my own business, to be honest. And I think you follow that in your business. I mean, you know.
And that's where when you look at it like that, that's when you think, oh, my gosh, I've got to look at something in the middle, because there's nothing there that's, you know, working at the moment, or repositioning what's in there. So you might not be repositioning your whole business.
It could be that, middle tier or whatever it is,
Could be just sections of the business, rather than thinking that you have to redo everything. Or adding things in or reshuffling things. Could something that you've got in your middle be turn into a higher product if it's doing well?
Yeah.
Is there an add-on? Is there other things that you could do to elevate it to that next level? Things like that. So that's another way to think about your positioning. It doesn't have to be about the whole businesses altogether. It could be just about the products or services that you offer in them on their own.
Yeah, I love that.
So anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's been super helpful, Siobhan. Do you have any final tips for anyone?
Take a holiday.
Totally agree, because it gives you – I do – actually, that is a genuine tip that I think I will leave, and I think you'll back me up on this. I am a huge advocate for do your thinking outside of your zone, like as in don't sit in your office and try and have a strategy day.
No.
Get outside. Like go for a holiday, book a house. Do whatever it is, go sit on by the beach, do whatever it is that you need to do, because our thinking is narrowed when we're in our normal spaces, because we're thinking about our to-do lists, and we cannot be creative when we may turn our emails off, congratulations, you might turn your phone to do not disturb, but you are still not in creativity.
I know someone who actually does that's she hires an Airbnb
and
shuts herself off from her family and what have you, and does her strategy session at the Airbnb.
I did it when I first started in business, and I'm overdue it again. So, you know, it's real life confession here. I booked a holiday house just on a Monday, Tuesday, took the 2 days. I went up Sunday night, chilled out Sunday night. Monday, Tuesday, it was deep dive into what I wanted from my business for the next 12 months. And I did it in the early stages of November, and it was the best 2 days I'd spent, and I really came up with some really good ideas and thoughts. And it is such a valuable thing to do for yourself and for your business.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be said for doing it that way.
Yeah.
I think you come up with better stuff.
I agree. Because you're not stuck in those, and stop worrying about what's happening. You're not a heart surgeon. No one's dying in those 2 days, okay?
Yeah.
You're cool.
Just take the time, get away, and maybe do it on your own. I'm an introvert, so doing it on my own works for me, but some people prefer to do it in your group settings. So.
I'm an extrovert and I do it on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we just also said this, that I need to be around more people because I'm going slightly batty. But I think, I think there is an element of doing things on your own, because when you have other people around you, it also clouds your ideas because you jump onto their ideas.
Yes.
And like, I'm all for having a brain dump with a million people in the room as well. I think that is definitely useful and it has its place. But sometimes individual thoughts, a weekend away on your own, is just so necessary.
Yeah. And it will help you listen to your gut better.
Yes.
And I think you can't underrate that.
Yeah. And men, you've got one too. Because traditionally we always know that women are like, I think about my gut. I was listening to my gut. Whereas we never hear men say that. So guys, come on, work on this. It's good.
Yeah. They need to talk to it more.
Totally. Well, thank you so much for your time. Right. It's been awesome having you back. And I'm sure you'll be back again. I have no doubt.
Yes.
But thank you for all the wisdom that you have given to the audience today.
No, but thank you as well. I love chatting. With you.
Just, we could
I get so
day.
Much value. I don't know, we could, couldn't we?
Marketers, man, we're a problem.
Yeah, it is. All right.
Bye. Hi, Beck here, just dropping in to say that if you are struggling with your marketing planning, I have got the solution just for you. I have recently launched my marketing planner to the world, and I am offering it to you at a 5% discount for listening to the potty. You can see what's in the planner and how it's going to change your life simply by visiting my website, beckchapel.com.au, and heading to the resources section. When you're ready to check out, chuck in potty VIP and you'll get your 5% discount. Thanks for listening, and I hope that it changes your life.